The tests, like I said, are different across the various labor and employment laws. And the reason why they're different is because of the different purposes of the laws. And when the laws were enacted, they were trying to enforce rights as to employers who were seeking to evade their responsibilities in particular ways, depending on the type of the protections that we're talking about. So it's important as practitioners to look at the purpose of the law in first in applying these tests. And like I said, this is going to be a pretty cursory overview because the breadth of this is really quite large. And so we're going to kind of skim across the top of these laws. The idea was to give you a reference and sort of a place to start your own research and dive deeper. But the paper does have a good starting point for you, hopefully, in doing your research under these various laws. I've also included a case compendium of recent joint employer and employment status cases that the National Employment Law Project maintains under the Fair Labor Standards Act. Now, all of these various tests have their basis in the common law of agency, and the common law of agency was developed for tort and contract liability. So the idea was, whether the actions of a putative employee could be imparted to the hiring party. And so this traditional test looks at whether the hired party was in business for themselves or whether and really had their own separate business. And it also looks at the right to control the manner and means by which the work is accomplished, not just the end result. And this is a very important concept to remember, is that even the common law recognizes that it's the right to control the work and not the actual control of the work. This is a concept that's been around since the 19th and 20th century. And another important concept is that you look at the totality of the circumstances, and even though there are all these factors that you can use to help make that determination, you don't want to discard any of them, but some of them may or may not be applicable, but depending on the situation. Again, we're talking about a very fact-intensive inquiry, a very nuanced inquiry, and it's set up that way because you've got to look at the reality, not labels, not the fantasy, or even subjective beliefs. So the common law test uses many, many, many factors, and I'm not going to go through all these, but these are the traditional factors. So you look at sort of who's supervising, and then the traditional factors, the right to hire, fire, and set the employment terms, who's paying the worker, but also whether the work is part of what that company does, right? So again, this concept is going to be repeated throughout these employment tests. Now, the Fair Labor, and let me just say, the common law test, the Supreme Court has said, is the default test. Wherever a statute doesn't define employee, employer, employee, you're going to look to the common law. So it's still a very relevant test. And it's used by the IRS in FICA and FUTA cases. It's also used under ERISA and Texas unemployment law. Really, the common law test is one of the narrowest tests for finding employment. The Fair Labor Standards Act, on the other hand, is the broadest test for determining employment, because it's going to look at not just some of these common law control factors, but also some broader factors. And the reason why it's been declared explicitly broader than the common law by the Supreme Court repeatedly since its enactment in 1938. So we're talking about 80 years of case law saying that the Fair Labor Standards Act, its coverage and its reach is supposed to be broader and to capture people who would not otherwise be captured under the common law tests. And the reason why was because when it was enacted, there were companies who were using middlemen, subcontractors, to skirt the law's requirements and hire underage workers and then underpay them. So, well, that's still going on today. I mean, that is, right, companies use subcontractors and then pretend like they don't know what's going on in their factories or their workplaces. So the test is very much relevant and necessary today if we really care about enforcing minimum wage standards. And I can tell you that as an employee's lawyer for low-wage workers, that minimum wage violations are rampant and pervasive.